Our very fantastic Discoveries podcast with your host, Juggie Farmer.
Hello, and welcome to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Juggie Farmer. Today, we are talking about The Austere Academy. The fifth book is Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events. You will now know about the Baudelaire's horrible boarding school experiences before the Netflix show comes out with the new episodes later this month. Let's get started! Last we saw the Baudelaires, they were being taken by Mr. Poe to the Prufrock boarding school to try and escape Catalof one more time. Despite Mr. Poe's reassurances that the school's advanced computer will keep Catalof away, the Baudelaires are not so sure. The Baudelaires are forced to live in a decrepit shack, put up with the unbelievably boring lessons, the unfair rules, the self-absorbed vice principal, and the school bully, Carmelita Spatz. Sunny even has to be the administrative assistant because the school does not have preschool. The only bright light in the gloominess of the school is that they found two new friends. Also orphans of the fire with a fortune, the Quagmire triplets. Why two Quagmires instead of three, you ask? Well, Quigley Quagmire was never found following the Quagmire fire, so Duncan, a budding journalist, and Isadora, poet of many couplets regarding the school, are their only comforts. A little later in the year, they find out that they have a new gym teacher, Coach Genghis, a turban-wearing, shiny-eyed, critically acclaimed gym teacher. This being another transparent disguise of Olaf's, he makes life miserable for them by making them run special exercises in the night and making them miss the vice principal's horrible violin recitals. Count Olaf is making school life harder and harder for the Baudelaires, making their grades drop. When the Quagmires dress up as the Baudelaires so the Baudelaires can study while the Quagmires do their exercises, it ends in tragedy. The Baudelaires are expelled when the vice principal finds out, though they do uncover Count Olaf's disguise. The Quagmires are kidnapped by Olaf, though not before they shout out a crucial secret to the Baudelaires. Three initials. V.F.D. Before they have a chance to find out more, however, Olaf gets away, and the Baudelaires are sent to the home of two wealthy people who live in the Baudelaires area, Jerome and Esme Squalor. Now I welcome our regular guest, Dylan Fulmer. Hi, Daddy.
Hello, Juggie. How are you doing this fine Sunday morning?
I am doing great this fine Sunday morning.
Fantastic.
Very fantastic.
Indeed. So, where do you want to start?
So, what was your research on the Austere Academy?
I did some research on the book.
Yeah.
And read portions of it, yes, and I know you've looked at my notes already.
Yeah.
So I'm asking where would you like to start? What's one of the most interesting parts of the book to you?
Vice Principal Nero, don't you think he's almost as bad as Count Olaf sometimes?
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's an obvious reference to...
Wasn't he the guy where the expression said he fiddled while Rome burned or something?
Yes. He was an emperor in ancient Rome. And not a very nice guy by all accounts.
And Nero's the same, except he's not an emperor, but he's the vice principal.
Right. So, an obvious, you know, it's an obvious, you know, play on that because fiddle and violin, you know, same instrument, basically. Obvious reference to Nero there. Where did we pick up last? Where did we last see the Baudelaires before they went to the Prufrock Academy?
Remember, they were working at the lumber mill.
Right.
When they thwarted Dr. Orwell and Count Olaf and the Bald Man.
Right.
But then they were, like, fired by Sturr for basically no reason at all, mm-hmm. and now they're at the boarding school.
Right. So they get to the boarding school, and when they first get there, is everything okay?
No.
Initially, it was bad from the get-go.
They were at the vice principal's office, and they were like, Mr. Poe told us to go to Vice Principal Nero's office, and Nero's like, Mr. Poe told you to go to the vice principal's office. Well, I'm too busy practicing the violin, so you can live in a shack at the edge of civilization with crabs and fungus while the rest of the people go to this nice dormitory with fruit.
Hmm. Right. So my understanding is that they couldn't live in the dorms with the rest of the people because they didn't have authorization from their parents because their parents were dead.
Yes.
So they had to live in the shack for orphans, and it was all gross and decrepit.
And it had, like, lurid, I think you call it lurid, like, wallpaper,
mm-hmm.
With, like, lime green with pink hearts, and there were aggressive territorial crabs, and dripping tan fungus.
Well, that sounds not pleasant at all.
Vice Principal Nero, I think, could have given them a less pleasant dorm, but not as unpleasant as that.
These kids, man.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta give it to them. They are very resilient.
Yes.
These Baudelaire orphans.
Yes, they are.
And very resourceful as well. So, from the get-go, bad news for them again.
Yes.
They have to live in this horrible place, and they're in this new place where they don't know anybody, but they meet some new friends. Yeah.
Yes. So there's Isadora Quagmire, mm-hmm. who likes making couplet poetry.
Right. Do you know what a couplet is?
Like two-line poetry.
Two lines that rhyme.
Yeah. And she makes one from the start that makes them feel better about the school bully that teased them on their way there.
Carmelita.
Spatz.
Gotcha. Carmelita Spatz. That's quite a name. This Snicket fellow has quite the gift for interesting names of people.
Yes, but she makes a nice couplet about Carmelita that makes them feel better. I would rather eat a bowl of vampire bats than spend an hour with Carmelita Spatz or something like that.
Good one. So, but they meet these friends, but
Duncan, who does journalism.
Oh, yeah, so the other brother is Duncan.
Yeah. And they were formerly the Quagmire triplets, but now they don't know where their brother Quigley is because he is most likely consumed in the fire.
Right.
Most likely.
Right. Right, right, right. So Isadora Duncan was a dancer, a ballerina, as I understand it.
That's why.
And she apparently, interesting fact about her, she died because her scarf got caught in the wheel of a car that she was in, and she had an accident because of that. Seems like a rather Snicket-esque way to die.
Yeah, I see what they did there. And Duncan doesn't have a scarf, but he does have a sweater,
mm-hmm.
Which Violet plucks a thread off of for one of her inventions. But that's later in the book. So remember, right. Coach Genghis.
Yes.
Another Olaf disguise.
Right, and it's I'm imagining it's just as obvious as all the other ones to the Baudelaire orphans.
Yes, and he has like this turban.
Right.
And
he claims that he can't take the turban off for
religious reasons.
Gotcha.
And it's almost like Professor Quirrell in Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't take off his turban because there was a dark wizard on the back of his head,
mm-hmm.
and Olaf couldn't take off his turban because it would reveal his one eyebrow.
Unibrow.
Yes, unibrow, that is a characteristic of Olaf.
Right.
And he also has this, like, really expensive running shoes, which would cover his tattoo.
Right. So, Coach Genghis, another obvious reference to Genghis Khan.
Yeah, I heard there was a guy named Genghis Khan.
Right. And he made the Baudelaires do these horrible exercises called SORE, which stood for what?
Special Orphan Running Exercises.
So he made them, like, paint a circle around the field or something like that?
Yes, but remember also the unfair rules.
Right.
Like, you can't go to the vice principal's office without an appointment.
Right.
And if you do, you'll be forced to have your hands tied behind your back, your silverware taken away, and you can eat your food like a dog.
Hmm. Well, Baudelaire's are like, oh well, like, it's bad enough already, right?
So. Yeah, and Sonny, the school does not have preschool, so of course Sonny should be the administrative assistant.
Right, that doesn't
that
make any
total
sense.
Total sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Like,
too young to go to school, so you're going to go to work.
Your mind is totally sound, Vice Principal Nero.
Well, obviously not. He's a crazy person.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sonny, I read that when she first met Isadora,
yeah,
she said Sappho. Do you know who Sappho is?
Who's Sappho?
Sappho was an ancient Greek female poet.
Oh, that makes sense. Sappho. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yes. So then what happened? So then because of the SORE, which again stood for...
Special Orphan Running Exercises.
So Count Olaf made them run and run and run all night long.
Or in Sonny's case, crawl and crawl, crawl.
Right. And as a result of that, they were too tired to study.
Yeah,
and they started doing poorly on their exams, their tests.
And Vice Principal Nero said that if they did not catch up, then...
They would
be expelled.
But...
And Coach Genghis would be their guardian.
Right, which obviously they don't want because they've had experiences with Count Olaf.
Yes.
Dating back to The Bad Beginning, which
yes.
was the first book. Yes.
Yes.
So, then... They give them this ultimatum, you've got to do well on the test, and you know, they're also out of staples, I guess.
Yes. And the only things that the Baudelaires are actually taught is measurement.
Oh, right, the metric system, right?
Yeah, so Klaus, basically the only two subjects that the Baudelaires take are language arts and math, because those are basically the only two subjects that are mentioned in the book.
Right.
Mr. Remora writes down and tells boring stories to Violet's class.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Bass,
mm-hmm.
Who would later steal from Mr. Poe's bank, likes the metric system and asks Klaus's class to... measure things over and over again, and those are the only two things they even learn.
Gotcha. And you know what the common connection between remora and bass are, right? They're both fish.
Fish.
Do you know what a remora fish. Is?
What?
A remora is a fish that has a suction cup on the top of its head, and it goes up underneath a shark and attaches itself to the bottom of a shark, and then when a shark eats a fish, any of the scraps that are floating in the water, the remora comes out and eats those.
Well, one thing that Mr. Remora was always eating was bananas.
Gotcha.
Bananas and bananas and bananas.
Loads and loads of bananas?
Yes. He could have been a monkey for all the bananas he ate.
Gotcha. So, then they came up with a plan.
Yeah.
Because the way it was working out, they were going to get expelled, and they didn't want to get expelled, and they certainly didn't want to go with, quote-unquote, Coach Genghis,
yes.
Count Olaf.
And also, one also consequence of their special orphan running exercises was that Vice Principal Nero's violin recitals took place at the exact same time, and what's funny is that... they had to be at the violin recitals, or they would have to pay Nero a bag of candy, but they also had to be at the special orphan running exercises at the exact same time,
right.
or they would have to get Genghis like a tip.
Gotcha. A tip? What do you mean a tip?
Like
money.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So they missed all of these, and so, you know, they're in this tight spot again. They had to study for these tests, or they were going to get expelled. They had to also do the exercise somehow.
Yeah.
And they had to come up with a bunch of candy.
How can you go to a violin recital and run special orphan running exercises at the exact same time?
You cannot. So they came up with a plan, which was...
The Quagmires dressed up as the Baudelaires and do their special orphan running exercises.
And Sonny was... What did they
use? A bag of flour with a scribbly smile on it.
They put a bag of flour on the track to make it look like it was Sonny. And Count Olaf was none the wiser because it was dark and he couldn't tell that it was not the actual Baudelaires, but it was in fact the Quagmires.
Yeah, and the
while that was happening, the Baudelaires were studying. Yeah,
yeah, we're studying for their test and also making Sonny's staples, and you know how?
Violet made some crazy invention with, like, creamed spinach or something, right?
And crabs.
And
remember
crabs.
Those overly territorial crabs?
Right.
She got a toe-shaped potato because those crabs love snipping at their toes.
Mm-hmm.
And just as the crab snapped at the potato, she would put a metal rod in its place, and the crab would snip it neatly in two. And using some cream spinach and hay and a fork, she bent them into a paperclip shape.
Hmm.
I mean, a staple shape.
Ingenious. That Violet.
Yeah.
Again, quite the resourceful gal.
Yeah. So they were studying. Because who wants to hear Vice Principal Nero play the violin so horribly that the windows will break? The dawn arrived, and Mr. Remora and Miss Bass and Vice Principal Nero give them their exams. And they, like, aced it, like...
They totally crushed their tests.
But, like, in my story about the rocks in the back of the truck, what were the color of the rocks? Gray and brown. And the vice principal's like, gray and brown? That can't be right, can it? Actually, yes, it is.
Gotcha.
And then, what was the measurement of the navy blue scarf? Eight centimeters. 8 centimeters, that can't be right, can it?
Whose voice are you doing there?
Nero's.
Why does Nero sound like that?
Because his voice actually sounds quite normal, but he likes to imitate people in that squeaky voice.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, and he still refuses to believe Coach Genghis is Count Olaf.
Mm.
Until Count Olaf himself comes running out with news that the Baudelaire's dressed up as the Quagmires and he kicked a hole in the sack of flour.
Well, how did they know it was him? Did he not have his turban on anymore?
No. The teachers still thought it was Genghis, but the Baudelaires knew it was Olaf. So he got Klaus's glasses and Violet's hair ribbon, and I'm assuming a torn in half sack of flour, held them up, and said, "The Quagmires were pretending to be you. I have them working in the cafeteria with the people who are so not the white-faced ladies."
Gotcha. So then the Baudelaires were accused of cheating, and then they still got expelled anyway, right?
Triple expelled is what Vice Principal Nero said.
Triple expelled.
And the teachers actually said, "Nero, they're actually pretty good students. Why don't you expel Carmelita Spatz?"
Mm.
And Nero's like, "I'm expelling the Baudelaires because I'm an unfair man. And if you want to be expelled too, keep talking."
Ha. Huh. Gotcha. So it didn't work out at all, again, for the Baudelaires.
Yeah, and...
And so then Olaf kidnapped the Quagmires...
Because remember, he said they were working in the cafeteria with the cafeteria workers who were so not the white-faced ladies.
Right. Except obviously, they were.
Yeah.
So, and then when the Quagmires were being driven off by Count Olaf, what did they say to the Baudelaires?
"Look at the notebooks! VFD!"
And obviously, VFD plays a very large role in the rest of the books, as well as the title of this very podcast.
Yes.
So, did it say what the Baudelaire's reaction was to hearing the initials VFD?
they didn't know what they were talking about. But before they could find out, Olaf drove away, and they were and Mr. Poe took them to the home.
Oh, Mr. Poe.
And Mr. Poe took them to the home of the, I think it was like the city's sixth most important financial advisor. And her husband.
Gotcha. And what is her name again?
Esme Squalor.
Esme Squalor.
And her husband, Jerome.
Jerome Squalor.
Again,
another interesting name from
I think
Mr.
it was
Snicket.
Like the title of the book, right?
Hmm.
To Esme with Love and Squalor or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, yes. In Proof Rock, there was a famous poem, the J. Alfred Proof Rock. It was T.S. Eliot, I believe.
T.S. Eliot actually plays an actual role in the books, as you will see in like book 11, 12.
Gotcha.
But we're not there yet.
We're not there yet, indeed. All right, well, anything else that you'd like to mention for this episode?
That their circumstances do not seem any better.
Never.
Never.
They just get worse and worse and more like complicated and horrible and like coming up with new ways to torture children. It's just
yes,
not good at all.
Yes, but Sunny actually used her position as administrative assistant to her advantage in the later book.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, that you will see.
Okay, well, thanks again, Jungi, for another fantastic conversation.
Very fantastic.
Very fantastic. Rather fantastic. All right, and we'll talk to you soon. What are we talking about next week?
Some Greek stories, including Hermes.
Aha.
The baby who stole cows.
Gotcha. And you just got some, recently, you just got some new Greek mythology, reading
book.
Material. Would we like to give a shout out to anybody?
Yeah.
Who would you like to give a shout out to?
John and Ellen.
John and Ellen?
Yes.
Thanks, John and Ellen.
Yep.
All right, talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. That is all the time we have for today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode about Book 5 of A Series of Unfortunate Events, The Austere Academy. If you have time, read the book or watch the show later this March. You can check us out at iTunes, Stitcher, our website, theirfantasticdiscoveries.com, and many more. Next time, we will be talking about a couple of Greek stories, one of which has very funny details. Get it? See you then.